feel like myself anymore. I'm like a lost key in the kitchen drawer, just waiting for someone to show me to the door. But onwards and upwards, baby.
Hey up, my name's Ben, and you're listening to File 49 of the YYY Files. This file belongs to someone who you may well have heard before, but you'll most likely be hearing him more from now on, whether it's broadcasting a build-up for an upcoming Stoke game or representing fans' views at the very top. I'm surprised he's managed to find the time to come and chat to us today. I'm very grateful he has, though, and I'm excited to see what he has to say. Michael Stockley, welcome to the YYY Files. Thank you very much for taking that time to come on. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm really good, thanks, Ben. How are you, mate?
I'm okay. I think I've been saying on social media, I've been contemplating whether to make the 4-hour round trip to go to the Stoke versus Barnsley game tomorrow. I'm still not sure with 24 hours to go. I'm leaning towards going because it's been a good season so far, and if I miss it and we win, I'm going to regret it. But then part of me thinks that if it's a wet Tuesday night, I'm going to be sat there. Well, I'll be going to the game on my own. I'll probably meet people there. But if we lose, it's going to be a depressing drive home. Getting back after work at midnight, it's going to be a long day, man.
I was going to say, whereabouts do you sit in the stand, Ben?
So I sit block 29 now. Okay. I move seat this season.
Near the front or the back?
I row 29. Block 29, row 29.
Okay, you won't get wet then. You can't use weather as an excuse.
I won't get wet, but I do take a 20-25 minute walk to the stadium and back. So I park in Penton, you see. Don't chance it.
fair enough. But like you say, mate, it's going well. I mean, why don't you just go while we're winning and, you know, marching on to the top of the league, mate? You can always have the excuse not to go when we start losing.
quite right. You watch when we enter 2022, the stadium will be empty again. Anyway, the YYY Files are Stoke City stories, and they're told by you. If you want to do exactly what Mike is doing today, you can. Head to the YYYFiles.com, links in the description. Let's jump into it then, mate. So, my first question, as ever on this podcast, and you all know this too, why are you a Stoke fan? And I want to know from the beginning.
Okay, so, wow, the beginning. So, yeah, I've been a Stoke fan, to be honest, mate, for pretty much as long as I can remember. I mean, I've been very much born in Stoke myself. My kind of main influence has come from my dad, to be honest with you. Earliest kind of memories I've got in some respects, and you might be able to help me out on a little bit of this as well, because it's very hazy, but Victoria Ground. I seem to remember as a child visiting, or being told by my dad rather, to go into the, what I assume is the club shop. I think it was on the end of Lime Street. It's almost like a end of terraced house now, but my main memories is going into there. My dad asked me to grab the local program, and following that, I think we lost 2-1, if I'm not mistaken, mate. It's typical Stoke, we lost. I don't particularly remember who it was. I've got Man United in my head, but I don't think we were playing anyone like Man United at that particular point. But yeah, so that was the kind of the kind of lasting memories. And to be honest, mate, we were never really flush with kind of much money back then. So we always had to kind of pick and choose the games. And yeah, it was very much an influence from my father. And he probably won't thank me for this, but he actually used to be a Port Vale fan back in the day, mate. So yeah, apologies for that. But yeah, so it takes me. Yeah, absolutely, mate. I don't know what made him change. Obviously, he saw the light at some point, but I don't know what made him change. But yeah, so it kind of takes me back to that. The only game I really remember, and I was thinking back through kind of memories as a whole and that path after that point, and we kind of went from there. I think next season, actually, it was to the what is obviously now the Bet365, but obviously the Brit. And I seem to remember the Porter Cabins, I think they were. I think they were pitched something like the, where the bus stop is now, but I seem to remember going into the cabins and they had the Britannia on a 3D model on a screen. And you could see what it was all going to be like. And it looked like really high tech, and it was like, oh my God, this is an amazing stadium. How are we getting this? All the facilities we've got, and plenty of room for parking, I remember. It was one of these brochures. Oh, honestly, mate. You think it's amazing now, look at it, and you know, we feel like, you know, it's falling apart. But yeah, it goes back quite a way, and I'm sure we'll get into more of the kind of fond memories. But yeah, very much got my my father to thank for our Stoke. I'd say it's probably a good thing that I support Stoke. Again, I don't know, mate. It's been an interesting journey, shall we say, over the last 20 odd years.
Yeah, of course it has. And you're not a Stoke fan if you've not had the ups and downs, whether it be short term or long term. I mean, we're a club that fluctuates, and part of me is happy that we are. But yeah, I think your story is similar to a lot of people's in terms of its origins, with it being your dad. That's the case for a hell of a lot of people. And it is important, I think, but it's yours is slightly more unique in the way that he changed allegiance for that. That does not happen very often at all, particularly in Stoke. You know, the rivalry there is pretty strong. Not many people even consider the other side, let alone make the switch. Was that something that you influenced, or was that he was that premeditated?
I think it was probably a bit of my influence, and also his brother's Kevin, because I mean, Kev was a Stoke fan, and you know, he'd kind of get free tickets for the games and stuff like that. And I think it was probably his influence, and the fact we, you know, we lived literally in Stoke itself on Corporation Street and Campbell Road. People in the area will know that. And you know, it literally couldn't be too much closer to the stadium. So I think it was just a natural progression into, you know, following a more, you know, prestigious team, to be honest, mate.
Mm. Well, in that case, if it wasn't necessarily your dad, what was it that got you hooked then?
you know what? It's tricky, and I'm thinking back to probably the main influences, and this was at least around, not immediately, but it was almost around the time of the, you know, the auto glass type time. And I think the actual person you had on the YY Files previously, I was listening to the other week, mentioned the Wembley visit, and I'd say that probably helped to kind of cement that, to be honest, mate, because that particular day was quite special for me. I remember when we'd actually won it, you know, with Peter Thorne, and obviously everyone was going up the steps, and we were literally parked smack bang on the steps. There was no one next to me, and it was a chance that I saw Kevin Keegan. I shouted for Keegan and saw him up close, and obviously back then he was obviously very well known. And Thorny basically was going up the steps. I'm right there. I've grabbed him. He's obviously scored the winning goal, as we all know, and I've put my scarf around his neck. He said, "Are you sure I can have this?" And I'm like, yeah, have it. He takes it. He lifts the cup. And then in the papers the following days, all you've got is him and Cav with my Stoke scarf around his neck and all over the paper. So for me, stuff like that, no doubt, made it really interesting. Mm-hmm. And funny enough, I actually was, my nan unfortunately has gone to a care home, but we were taking up the carpets and stuff, and I found an old oatcake program from
oh, I thought you were going to say an old oatcake then.
Yeah, wouldn't want to eat that, mate.
No.
But yeah, I found an old oatcake from back then that I'd scribbled in with, you know, about, you know, Kavanagh and Thorne, various different notes that I'd scribbled in, and it's just weird how that was just a bit of a fluke, and obviously I found that, but roughly at the same time I was thinking about this. But honestly, mate, yeah, I'd say it's got to be things like that, because I can't really think of anything else that really would have got me hooked, to be honest.
I can see that. It's little things like that which make you feel really involved, particularly in that sense when it was such a big occasion and it was something that you'd done, or albeit small in the grand scheme of things, and that everybody had seen as well. So I can understand why, particularly early on, that got you hooked. Interesting that you mentioned about writing in the Oatcake magazine. For me, writing in programs is blasphemy. Tell me a bit more about that. You used to write notes on the game, or?
That's the only time I actually remember doing it, and I'm not quite sure what it was. You know, like the old, they used to have like comic strips in them, didn't they? I think.
Right.
I'm trying to think what it was. I don't know. It was like Port Vale and Stoke on a football pitch. They'd have some joking banter between the two of them. I can't remember the ins and outs of it, but it was more about scribbling over the top. And I won't put what I actually put, because for a teenager, I really shouldn't have used that kind of language. But I put some stuff over the top of those. But it was definitely Stoke versus Vale, and it was like a comic strip. I'm sure somebody knows what I'm talking about. I say it's very vague, but I wish I had it to hand now. I could actually show you. But yeah, so I can only imagine I guess it's off the back of that, mate. But actually, one thing, I don't know what you just said that's triggered it, but do you remember back in the day that you used to be able to go to the Stoke training ground? And not only from afar, you used to be able to go almost on towards the pitches, and even actually at the Mitch, where they are now, before we actually got good. You know, you could actually go and sit behind the goal and you could kick the ball back to the players. And do you remember ever doing that?
Oh, man. See, you're testing me now because I became a fan back in 2009, to be honest. And not ever really serious until about 2011. So
right.
It might be a little bit too early for me. I imagine back at 2011 time, the players were a little bit too precious for that, but maybe I'm not. No, in short, I don't remember that.
Honestly,
but
mate,
I'm sure a lot
great.
Of people don't either.
It was good. I mean, I say we were doing it, and I assume it was, I swear it was still the championship level. It was where we just moved to the Mitch and we hadn't got any of the security gates up. We hadn't got any of that up at all. And you could literally walk straight on behind the goal. I swear it was Akinbaye and co were just, you know, kicking the ball and constantly missing the net, obviously. And, you know, it was going out and you literally could go and grab the ball and you could throw it straight back to the players directly. I mean,
wow.
To think about doing that is now would be completely unheard of.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it doesn't happen in any other stadium now. But, yeah, stuff like that, mate, as a teenager, getting up and close and personal. I mean, it makes you think about the kids now. What's going to get the kids now? Really? Yeah, exactly. So it's going to be these little moments and the days out with the mums and the dads at the Bet365 and hopefully trying to create some memories, because for me, it was a lot easier back then to get hooked. Whereas now, and it's a very big discussion, but what gets you hooked or what gets kids hooked these days?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, it's something that we might come on to, I guess, later on. But again, I can see why that would have got you hooked as well, because it's the whole experience is a bit more personal, right?
Exactly. It's all personal.
Yeah.
Something that I don't think everybody could have done or everyone would have done.
No, exactly. I can't. Maybe these days, I reckon more people would have done. People might have even travelled in, but I reckon pre-Premier League days, no, probably people wouldn't have travelled in to watch training. But then that might be just me being naive, to be honest.
Again, it depends if you're local as well, doesn't it? I mean, like I said, now there's no hope. I think it's all completely shut off. I don't know if you've been there recently, Ben, but
massive
gates, mate. You can't get anywhere near. You need to get your binoculars out.
I remember going to, well, I don't really remember. I know that back when I was in my preteens, I was at a birthday party ages ago. There were certainly no Stoke players there. I might have been on the pitch. Do you even call it a pitch when it's not a pitch? I don't know.
Yeah, I think
but,
so.
No, I don't have any memories there, to be honest. And yeah, like I say, sounds like you were in a relatively exclusive club then as well, to be fair. So it sounds like you got into Stoke a fair bit earlier than a lot of fans we've had on this podcast. And I don't think you're necessarily the oldest that we've had on here by some distance, but a lot of people that I spoke to certainly became fans probably just before Premier League days, or maybe just after, right? So you went back a little bit before, so you remember the old Victoria Ground, as we've said. You remember perhaps the early days of the first reign of Pulis, right?
Yeah, first reign of Pulis, good John Thordarson.
Yeah.
Oh, there were good times there, mate. You know, that's just it wasn't all good. But I think, I don't know, I don't want to speak out of turn for anybody, but I think having seen us in a really bad way at times, to then see us get promoted, that seemed like an absolute pipe dream back then. And I feel like I appreciate what we had a lot more than maybe people who've just joined. And it's no disrespect to anybody. It's just, I don't know, I feel like I saw the Carl Asabas and the Carl Henrys, and as much as they were, you know, they were triers, they were certainly nothing special. And I think the Thordarson days, and I was listening, you might remember his name, sorry, Ben, but the chap you had on the other week who was writing his book, I thought that was really interesting, that pod.
Oh, yeah, Liam.
Liam, yeah, so it was some time, but I was listening to that one again last week, and you know, he was talking about Thordarson, and it sounds a fantastic book, by the way. I think I've definitely got to give it a read. But again, there's a lot of touching on subjects there with Thordarson times, and those were some brilliant times. And again, you know, Wembley and the whole Cardiff situation, which he mentions and stuff like that. It's, I don't know, mate. You've seen the bad days, and I think it's made me really appreciate what we had. And what we're going to get back to in probably the end of this season.
Yeah, I know what you mean. So it's something that I can sympathise with, being, you having that early experience of Stoke being bad must have been really helpful, because back when I started being a fan, I said it was about 2011, 2009. From then on, pretty much till 2017, really, everything was rosy and all I'd known was Stoke doing great. And then beyond that, Stoke went downhill and I got really confused. I'd never known Stoke to do badly. And we joined the Premier League at a really good time. It was when football money started to come in for the first time and we rode a bit of a wave, really. And I thought that we could really be like an Everton, where we'd stay in the Premier League forever and it would be a happy, rosy garden that we'd be in and we'd never have to think about getting relegated. And how wrong I was. And actually coming down to this level has helped me to mature as a Stoke fan. I know people have talked about that on the podcast before. You sort of had that experience very early on.
I'd say though, Ben, I mean, I think you're probably a bit harsh on yourself there. I mean, I think nobody saw us getting relegated. When we think back to, you know, Mark Hughes times, I mean, some of that football was genuinely hand on heart. Even when we're going promoted and stuff like that to the Championship, that was the best football I think I've ever seen as a Stoke fan, ever. So why we would think we would go from that to relegation in a couple of seasons? No one would have seen it coming. No pundits saw it coming. And I mean, do you think as a support base, we got very, very complacent? Because I remember the times we were talking, we're all going to go for top 10 again. It's like, you think back now and you're like, we were crazy. Without hundreds and hundreds of millions, we would never have been any more than a top 10 team, maybe have a good season and do a sixth place or something like that. But I think we got ahead of ourselves. We got too comfortable. And I mean, yeah, Mark Hughes did amazing. He did great. But as soon as he got rid of the spine of Tony Pulis, that's when we had the downfall. The Whelans of this world, who nobody really probably gave him very much credit. I say nobody, but many people didn't give him enough credit for what he did. And as soon as the grafters went, we replaced them with flash players. And dare I use the word Bojan, who I'm it's controversial, mate, but I don't know. Bojan wasn't all it cracked up to be. If he wasn't such a nice guy, I don't think he would have been remembered very much.
This is partially true. I think that goes for a lot of players. I think he signalled what a lot of fans wanted to see from Stoke, whether it was in their roots or not, you know. Yeah. I was pleased to see someone like Bojan come in, because as much as I appreciate what Tony Pulis had done for us, when it went badly, it went badly. That 2012-13 season was absolutely dire. Yeah. And as much I was happy, as I say, with what Pulis has done, I was equally as happy to see him go. And I wanted a regime change. I think a lot of people did.
I love Pulis and I wanted him out at the time. So yeah.
Yeah. To be fair, I think Mark Hughes did fine. Resting on his laurels based on those Tony Pulis foundations that you mentioned, especially the defence. And then our recruitment was just tin pot, to say the least. You know, we had some gems in there, but you know, you think how we recruited recently, and I'm talking in the last 12 months, it's been so much better, albeit at a different level, so much better and so much more intelligent than what we were doing.
I mean, makes you wonder what's changed.
Well, we know what's changed. So the members of the hierarchy. But yeah, you're right. When you look back, it's plain as day why we are now in the position that we are in. Both from a good and bad point of view, by the way. We're in a much better place now than we were 2 years ago. And again, I can see why. But yeah, in hindsight, we deserve to get relegated for getting too complacent. But then it sounds like that Stoke have been there before. I just hadn't seen it.
We have, mate, but isn't every club guilty of that? I mean, obviously the Man City's and the Man United's of this world, they're always going to be up there. They're never going to fall into a situation where they're worried about relegation. But anyone outside the top six, any of them can go down at any point. It doesn't take much. Again, like I say, managers, you go from, you know, from Pulis to Mark Hughes to then a very, very big slippery slope to, you know, Lambert and Jones. And it was almost like we'd forgotten how to employ a good manager again. But I don't know. I think we've struck gold with O'Neill personally, and I know it's still very much early days. But yeah, for me, he seems to really have got us organised now. We were saying, you know, personally that as a team, we've not only got a good first 11, we've probably got a good first 24, 25 players that can all come in and do a job. Probably for the first time since relegation, we've got a team capable of actually getting us back up, and not just a couple of star players who, when they get injured, i.e. Tyrese Campbell, out last season, and it all went downhill. This time, I think we've actually got replacements. So I think that's going to be the big difference this year.
I agree, and we've seen that from the start of the season. We've been without our best players, and we've done really well. Anyway, that was sort of a whistle-stop tour of you as a fan, but part of the reason why you're here is how much you've done outside of just what a regular fan does. You've done a lot. Basically doing a lot for fans, I think, in many different ways. I'll start it off back as far as you can. I remember you saying just before we started the show, back in the long, long time ago, and probably back when they were popular, I don't know when this was, but you say you had a podcast back in the day, and it sort of developed into bigger and better things, right?
So yeah, I was doing little bits. So I did a little bit of writing for a Stoke kind of website. Can't think what it's called now. But yeah, so we're doing bits of writing for that. So we do interviews with different players, and I think Carlo Nash and Begovic. I actually had Begovic's email and mobile number in an old phone of mine. I found a couple of months ago, which you probably wouldn't thank me for. But yeah, so I managed doing that, and then strangely went on to this random radio station with myself, and it was Angela Smith, obviously head of the Supporters Council now, and you know, we both went on to a podcast from there, and Ange just basically said to me afterwards, you know, Luke, we're going to be setting up a radio station in a few months, would you be interested in coming on and being a co-presenter? I was like, well, you know, Luke, yeah, of course I would. You know, speaking about Stoke, and we all love a good ramble, and it kind of went from there. We had, you know, myself, Ange, Gareth Eakin, who was on there as well, and it started off as like a sports show and very, very quickly went into a Not FM Stoke City show. So yeah, it was trying to gain a lot of experience from the back of that, speaking to, you know, to players and you know, different kind of individuals in the game. And we spoke to Gary Maller, who was the agent of Jeff Cameron, and a number of different players. So I got to see the good and the bad, and a lot of really interesting conversations. And I met like Rory, one of the main kind of community events, and what a guy Rory Delap is. And I know we all love him anyway, but just such a nice, genuine, down to earth guy. I couldn't really ask for any more from Rory. He did a nice soundbite for the station and stuff like that. And yeah, I really enjoyed my time with Not FM. Yeah, it was just a really great time, to be honest, mate. But I think it's probably a lot easier to get into that stuff back then. I think now it's probably a little bit more difficult. Everyone wants degrees and everyone wants, you know, bells and whistles and everything these days. I think it's a lot more difficult, which I think is, at the same time, I think, you know, social media is taking on a brand new breadth. You know, we obviously use it for the podcast and you know, various different stuff, and it's, I think the world's changed, to be honest, mate. But you're right, I've been involved in various other bits, to be honest. But yeah, a really interesting time. And obviously now I've kind of gone on to the Stoke City Supporters Council, because like you say, I've always been someone, I mentioned about, you know, my dad and gave me into football, and as a child, about, I've got a son now, and I'll be honest, he's not really interested in Stoke. I've tried to get him in there. He's got a 100% winning streak. He's been to two games, and he's doing well. But for me, I want to just see it as an opportunity to try and make things better. And for other kids, you know, bringing things forward and like kid for quid schemes and stuff like that, stuff that I used to, you know, make advantage and take advantage of. So yeah, that's hopefully too long-winded. I apologize, but yeah.
No, hey, don't worry about that. I think we'll go more into that. Don't you worry about it. And I want to start as actually back at Not FM. So I am well aware of Not FM, and I think a lot of people listening will be aware of what Not FM is and was, right? But they seem to me to be like what a podcast would have started like if it had started back when, you know what I mean? I think if Not FM had started now, it would have been a podcast. Well,
yeah,
back those years ago, I think that this was almost the equivalent starting a radio show. And you say that people need experience and degrees and it's harder to get into now. Look at all the Stoke platforms there are these days. I think actually Not FM must have been one of the first. I know there was a couple kicking around at that time, but Not FM was probably in a very exclusive club of, I think it was fan made.
Absolutely, mate. Yeah, 100%. And I mean, when I think back about who was actually around, I think you're spot on. I think podcasts weren't even a thing.
Mm.
There was a little bit flying around, but yeah, it was radio stations. It was Radio Stoke was really the main platform that people had on a Saturday. Mm. And I guess, you know, there, as you rightly say, you know, podcasts are everywhere. Do you know what I mean? You know, Wizards of Drivel, obviously Every Step Along the Way, which we do. Obviously, you got your podcast. That's just three without even having to put any effort in. So, the world's great. And you know what's great about all this? Everyone's got different opinions. We could line up 50 Stoke fans on here and everyone would have a different opinion about Bojan. Everyone would have a different opinion about Fuller. Again, mate, it's a good world. Social media is a great tool, but also a potentially quite poisonous tool at times. So
yeah, again, something I know that we're going to come on to. What made you want to get involved with something like that in the first place? Was it just the varying amounts of opinion, or was there something else?
To be honest, mate, for me, I wanted to try and do it as a career. I really wish I would have. Focus more of it in school, but I think it was one of them scenarios where until it was more of a hindsight type thing. I really wanted to try and get into media and various different things in there. I would love to have worked for the club and stuff like that in a number of capacities. But it really was more around that route, really, mate. Trying to get involved with the right people, talk about something I love, because there's nothing worse than speaking to someone and they're pretending to know what they're on about. You know, I knew Stoke. I've lived and breathed Stoke. I was an idiot, really. I didn't have a season ticket, but I'd pay to go Stoke match every week, and I must have spent a blinking fortune over the course of a season. just stuff like that. It was just a chance to really engage with people. I think that's what it was. I love talking, as you can tell, and it was a great opportunity to do just that.
That's completely fair enough. And actually, I think it's not very often that people admit that they do the sort of stuff to get into it as a career. I think some of the younger Stoke fans who've been on this podcast have. I remember Harvey FCFC has hit, you know, he's never hid the fact that he'd love to do this professionally, this sort of thing professionally. The same with people like Elliot Yates, who does the Bear Pit, and Lewis has been on the podcast and he's talked about how he'd love to be a sports journalist when he's older. There's been plenty of people like that, right? But I think the general consensus amongst people who do stuff like this, and to be fair, this is the case for me. I've got my own career, but I think for a lot of people, they either honestly or bending the truth say that they do it as a hobby, and I don't always necessarily think that's the case, nor the fact that they should hide it. I think if they want to progress from it, absolutely do it.
Yeah, 100%, mate. I mean, like I said, it started out like that, but I've got a family and I've got a wife and I've got responsibilities. So
yes,
I could never really go back to university or go back to college and try to do a media degree or anything like that. And, you know, I used to speak to Matt Sandos and, you know, a lot of the Radio Stoke guys quite a lot and through interviews that you do. And, you know, again, it was nice to speak to those types of individuals. And obviously back then I was thinking, well, look, create good relationships, good stakeholder management, and just work with those individuals in the long run, maybe. But now, absolutely, Ben, I mean, do podcasts and doing this right now because I'm doing it because I love talking to people and I love talking about Stoke, and it's purely and utterly a hobby now. Now, don't get me wrong, if Radio Stoke call me tomorrow and say, Mike, you've got your own show at 7 o'clock on a Thursday, I'm there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I do this for the love of it. We all love Stoke. We're all right. We're all wrong. And it's just great fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good for you, mate. And I obviously that has evolved. You touched on it just there. For anyone that doesn't know, I've mentioned it on the podcast before, but there is a new Stoke City podcast out there. As if you didn't need another one has sprung up. Now, this is one that has not really been done. Mike, tell us a little bit about Every Step Along the Way.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's very much focused more of like a preview podcast, because we don't just want to be another podcast that focuses on how the game was at the weekend and then, you know, you just rabbit on about a lot of nonsense, to be honest, which, you know, there are a couple out there that for me does that. So what we wanted to try and do is really talk about, you know, the news from that particular week. You know, we want to talk about what moments from the previous game, but more importantly, you know, what we are going forward. You know, we look at stats. We, for example, like this week, last week, we had an overview of Connor Taylor. So we actually caught up in terms of how Connor Taylor's doing on his loan. So we want it to be a lot more kind of interactive, finger on the pulse. And, you know, for example, everyone loves the under 23s these days, and I think we'd all love some more exposure to that. And, you know, we want to be seeing how these players are getting on. And, you know, everyone loves a football poll and, you know, man of the match polls and various different stuff. So we just like to make it a little bit different. And I'm probably doing it very little justice, but, you know, we like to cover a wide range of things. And I know on the upcoming show, we're going to have a bit more insight on Peter Etebo as well. So how he's actually getting on over at Watford, to see if he's actually managing to make that step up, for example. So it'll be interesting to see. But yeah, it's just something a little bit different. And again, purely for the love of it, we love when people get involved, and it's just nice to get some alternative opinions than just us sitting there agreeing with each other.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right in saying that there is no Stoke podcast out there that dedicates themselves to previews. I know people like Wizards of Drivel have done previews for Game in the past, and they spoke to the equivalent podcast for the other club. But yeah, no one really goes in depth on the Stoke City preview front, particularly with stats and things like that, and does a proper analysis. I think there's not even many professional outlets that do it, really, not even Stoke themselves. And I like the idea because it's getting you hyped up for the match day, and that's the feeling that I think a lot of people miss these days. I think a lot of people turn up to Stoke and they don't know who the players are, they don't know who the opposition are or how they're doing. They don't know what to expect going into the game, and because of that, you sort of go in blind. For some people, that's exciting. For some people, going in and knowing somewhat what to expect is much better. And as you say, I know you guys cover an awful lot, or certainly try to cover an awful lot of the under-23s. I know you guys do quizzes and loan watches and all sorts of things. And don't be wrong, it's a new podcast, it'll find its feet and you'll get your regular stuff. But I think what I like absolutely the most about it, and it's something that I've been a key driver of here, is that you get people on the show. You request voice notes, and it's not just you guys talking to the microphone. You encourage people from other clubs, neutrals, Stoke fans, to be on the podcast with you. And for me, that's a huge part of the show.
Yeah, absolutely. And we got, you know, everyone. I mean, I'm sure you've heard of Graham McGarry as well.
Mm.
So Graham McGarry is going to do a regular weekly piece as well, in terms of, you know, his prediction for the game and stuff like that. So it's getting someone from, you know, the bigger media piece that everyone's heard. You know, and it does a lot of Crew Alex, but he's done Stoke as well. And, you know, again, it's just something a little bit different. That's purely, you've hit the nail on the head, mate. It's just something that you can't get elsewhere. And, you know, we've had a number of bits of feedback. We had some more feedback yesterday about someone just saying it, literally almost word for word what you just said, about getting them up and ready for the weekend. He was on his way to, I think it was the Huddersfield game. He was on his way to Huddersfield and he was listening to the pod on the way. And it got him really, you know, psyched up for the game. So, you know, you can't buy that type of feedback. You know, it's brilliant to hear.
That's surely what you started the podcast for. I was going to ask you what made you want to get back into doing this sort of thing after Not FM. Clearly, so you can hear people say stuff like that. And clearly you enjoy doing what you're doing too. You said that this sort of stuff is a hobby now. That's the motivator, right?
Yeah, exactly that. And you know what? I always like to be open and honest with everyone I speak to, Ben. And I think I found myself in the last few years almost not moving away from Stoke City. I felt the interest waning a little bit. And mm-hmm. It wasn't to do with getting relegated. That really actually didn't bother me as much as I thought it would do. But it was more the fact that I didn't connect with the club anymore. I didn't mm-hmm. connect with the players that were out there. Managers being sacked every 5 minutes. The identity was lost. We were no longer either a hoofball team or a sexy football team, or we didn't have an identity, and that kind of lost me a little bit. I was still listening to the games and watching highlights and watching various stuff, but you would find me probably going twice a season because I'd lost interest in a way. And this, mm-hmm. for me, I got very much back into it. That was about two or three seasons that I was feeling that. But I'd say this has got me back into, you know, loving the football club again. Again, the supporters council, it's got me really engaged in the club again because I love Stoke City and I feel that we've got the chance to build an identity again and just connect with people. I think that that's what it is. And I don't know if anyone else feels like that, but I generally feel like I'd lost the actual understanding of who we were.
I think part of that, specifically in your case, is that it sounds like what you got hooked on was being so involved. You felt like you were part of something, whether it was just the little token gesture of putting the scarf around a player's neck that everybody would then see, or whether it be doing, you know, your radio show or whatever it was, whether you were going down to the training ground and being with the players, you feel like the 12th man. And I can completely understand why, with relegation and sort of players' egos and the whole club changed, to be fair. The whole club, because of the Premier League, sort of distanced itself a little from what I even knew it to be back when I started following. You know, things became less accessible, more private, and players' egos got bigger, and it was, you know, you couldn't invite them onto a podcast or a radio show anymore because they were busy building their own brands or doing whatever, you know, football's changed. Yeah. And because Stoke were doing things like sacking managers, etc., that were out of character, yeah, I can completely understand why you disassociate the modern Stoke City to the Stoke City that you fell in love with.
Yeah, exactly that. And even when you think about like the hospitality side of things, just to love every now and then treating my dad to go and what I think it was hashtag split, I think it was it when we were in Europe, you know, the qualification stages, I think it was. And I took my dad in there and it was a very affordable time and, you know, and bits like that. And like you said, it was stuff like that. But then it escalated to a point where it was like 190 odd quid for a game and a hospitality suite. And I'm like, I can't justify that. And again, we're a Premier League team. It's about making money at the end of the day, which according to the books, we never really actually made that much money off the Premier League, which is crazy for how long we were actually there, but as is football. So yeah, again, you're spot on, mate. It was just a bit of love loss with the club, and I'm glad it's come back, and I'm glad, you know, the appetite for it's come back, because honestly, mate, I lived and breathed Stoke City. The only other thing that probably killed it for me was working at Bet365 at one point, which honestly, if anyone's ever worked there, that will guarantee to kill your love of sport, because every single thing that I watched was, okay, what's the odds of that? What's, you know, it literally destroyed your
sport.
It's
just a mindset change, right?
100%. 100%, mate. You'd have one weekend off from every four. And, you know, again, you would go into a football game not really getting, you know, you couldn't enjoy football anymore. Every single thing was adverts of Bet365 this, you know, William Hill this, whatever it was. And you just, yeah, it was a different world, mate. And that probably didn't help either.
No. And I think it was just a combination of all the things at once. But you didn't just let go. You did something about it and are doing something about it. And I think the things you're doing about it are great, particularly when things like podcasts don't come without their downsides, right? And you talked about what perhaps you like best about doing this sort of thing. What's the trickiest thing you found doing the podcast so far, do you think?
You know what? It's probably juggling time. I think some people think that, you know, you just switch on a microphone and you start talking. There's so much prep work that goes into doing a podcast. I literally, for example, today, in between lunch break at work, I was putting together the structure of the podcast. I finished work at 5 o'clock, and by 5:30, I was doing the structure of the podcast, chasing down contacts for audios and various different things like that. And then on a Wednesday we record it, and then Thursday and Friday you're kind of helping to promote the podcast again. So it's literally almost a five, six day a week thing, really. Mm-hmm. Juggling the time is definitely difficult around work, family, Stoke on a Saturday, and trying to actually have some time with my son, you know, aside from that. So, yeah, it's very much a time constraint thing. And I didn't realise, you know, going into it, it would be that time consuming. But
yeah,
again, working with Dan, who's great, you know, again, working with yourself on various things before that, you know, it definitely does help. It's not a one-man band, you know what I mean? It's very much, as Stoke is, very much a community.
Exactly, right? Viz and Utaportio, I completely sympathise and understand, right? And you touched on it there, actually. It's something that, you know, I thought it was such a good idea, something that I wanted to get involved in. I really did. Well, some people will know, I nearly brought that podcast onto the YYY Files. And in a couple of ways, I'm glad I didn't. Don't get me wrong, I think it would have been great for everyone involved, but I'm glad in two ways. One, the time constraints, as you said, running this show anyway, adding something on top of that. And as you said, you put hours and hours of week, you know, equivalent to a full-time job of work into doing something that like that. There's only so many hours in the day, right?
Oh yeah.
And trying to do everything, you can't. You simply can't do everything. And that's something I learned whilst doing this podcast, but realised very quickly into the plans for your new podcast. But I'm also glad because you've gone and made it your own thing, right? Because there is certainly power in lots of people being involved, but you and Dan have been able to make it something of your own. You've done your own thing with it. Of course, not without helping setting it up, but by putting your own stamp on it, I think is really good. And it's just more new voices in the Stoke fan community. And I think it's great. I urge people to check it out. As I said, I know that it's early days for your podcast and it's going to evolve for sure over time. So I urge people to be patient with it. But where can we find Every Step Along the Way?
Yeah, absolutely. So on Twitter, if you go, literally put in Every Step Along, you'll be able to see us on there. You'll find it on Spotify, Anchor, Google, and Apple Podcasts as well. Typically, just Google or anything, you know, Every Step Along the Way, and it'll pop up there for you. Really quite straightforward. It's pretty much on every platform you could possibly want. So, yeah, thank you very much for the plug, Ben. Always appreciate it.
No, you're welcome. I mean, it's not even a cheap plug. You know, whenever people come on here, I genuinely celebrate all the things that you good people do, and it's partially because you've opted to come on and talk about it, which I really appreciate it. But yeah, the more the merrier. I think I said on the last podcast with Chris, saying, you know, there's probably 16 hours a day where human beings are up and awake. If you can't fit a couple of podcasts into your time there, it's simple because you don't want to, and that's fine. But I certainly don't believe in this fact that there's not room for everybody, because I think there certainly is. Albeit, I think finding time to listen to a preview podcast sometimes could be hard for people, but some people are absolutely and have been clamoring for it, and I understand. And I urge, if anybody is looking for that sort of thing, go and check out the places that Mike's just said. And yeah, I'm sure in time, certainly, you won't be disappointed. One last thing in terms of being involved with stuff that I wanted to touch on. You've touched on it a couple of times already, Supporters Council. It might almost be an insult to ask you, but what made you want to apply to be on there? I think you've pretty much touched on this already.
Yeah, so it was very much, about trying to change things, because like I said, trying to find the identity back again and trying to take, I was thinking about my son and about children who want to go these days and the future of Stoke, and thinking about the bigger picture, and that's really what has made me do it. And I think it seems to be clearly the club think there should be a council, because I'm sure they could easily disband it tomorrow if they wanted to. So clearly, you know, they obviously do want it. And again, it's a set of people who, like myself, they're not in it for their own personal interest. We don't get paid. We don't get kickbacks off the club. We don't get anything. Except for some very nice bacon and cheese oatcakes, I will point that out. They were some of the best oatcakes, but we were having a bit of a joke about garnish on top of cheese oatcakes.
Yes, which, we were. I've never seen posh oatcakes in my life, but there we are.
No, I'll tell you what though, mate, smoky bacon. I'm not a fan of smoky bacon, but that worked. So I must admit, now that is a perk. But either way, you know, none of us have gone into that thinking we're going to get anything from it. We're just getting a chance to help support people. If people have got ideas they want giving to the club, we'll give the ideas to the club. We can only do so much. You know, the club obviously have got to be able to do them things or want to do those things. And I think, again, it's obviously very much confidential until the minutes go on the site, and we'll never ever divulge anything before that. But I was actually really impressed with Tony Scholes and how he came across and how the actual team came across during that particular meeting. You know, very, very accommodating. And I don't actually know what I expected, to be honest with you, Ben. But I was really, really happy with how things went. And like I said, that's the motivation. It's just to make a difference. And hopefully we will. Obviously, again, time will tell and people can judge us for that at the end of it. But all I'll say is, you know, everyone going in there, myself included, we'll do what we can. We'll do our best. And hopefully it's enough.
Absolutely right. And I sympathize with that. You know, I commend people like you who aren't just happy sitting there. You know what I mean? Doing something about it, whether it be your radio show, your podcast, or being on the sports council. Clearly, it's not just enough for you to sit there and moan about it. Actually, doing something to make a difference is that's not a common trait, and that's why the council isn't hundreds of people big. You know, like I'm glad that there's people out there like you who give up your time to make the experience of other people better, whatever way that is.
Yeah, and that's, again, mate, that's all it is. And I think one of the main things about the supporters council is, you know, sometimes it does feel a bit of a thankless task, really, Ben. And I think maybe people don't appreciate just how difficult it is sometimes, you know, to try and get your point across. And hopefully, you know, the supporters council can do that. And I know every time, you know, we go out to have a meeting with the club, you know, the actual supporters council Twitter page, they'll put comments out there about what people want to see improved, what changes they want within the club. And I just say, look, if anyone's got any thoughts or any suggestions, please get in touch with that particular Twitter feed, especially when those posts go out, because we'll always discuss and always try and put every kind of suggestion forward, because at the end of the day, as I said, it's not a supporters council without the supporters. So if anyone wants to make any suggestions, you know, please do go ahead and get involved.
It wouldn't be much of a supporters council, you're right, if it was just the opinions of 10 fans alone. You know, the idea is that we are representative of everybody, and that's important, and we can't do that without knowing what problems that people have. Literally, I remember the pre-meet and Angela just went down the thread that was on the Twitter page telling us what we're going to be talking about in the next meeting. You know, I can't emphasize that everything gets looked at. It's not one of those things where people say, oh yeah, we'll pick up in the future. No, everything gets looked at and gets considered.
I was going to say, in terms of, I mean, just to give you that an example, I mean, we spent an hour and 20 minutes just discussing what things we were going to discuss in a meeting. You know, as you said, mm-hmm. It's literally everything that gets suggested by people gets discussed. So, it's definitely not something that ever gets ignored. So if people don't see things come up on the minutes or whatever, it's not that it's not been, you know, discussed, and I'm sure we will always get round to everyone's thoughts. But I must admit, I'm really enjoying it. Everyone in the supporters council, Ben, are great. I've enjoyed everyone I've spoken to, and I can't wait to see what we're going to get accomplished this season. Hopefully quite a lot.
Yeah, hopefully, especially with fans back in the stadium after a long time out. Let's see, I suppose. I think I wanted to talk to you a little bit later on about what you want to see going forwards, but we'll get on to that. For now, I think I want to get close to wrapping up this half. I think that's pretty much been your Stoke City journey up until this point. I'd like you, though, if you don't mind, to recall your top Stoke City experiences, if you could.
Ooh, okay. So I've probably got two or three actually top experiences. So I kind of already mentioned one of them, which I won't go over all grounds, but I mean, the Peter Thorne final autograph that I mentioned around the shirt.
Yeah.
It doesn't get more magical as that as a kid. So for me, absolutely up there. I'd be obviously nuts if the 5-0 win at Wembley versus Bolton wasn't mentioned in there. I think it was the fact that it was all a complete shock. I think most Stoke fans had gone there thinking, you know, I think there was much on the table between us, if I'm not mistaken. Mm.
I think Bolton were favourites going into the game, actually.
Yeah, I think we were going there thinking, well, forget 1-0, maybe 1-1, take it to extra time. And it was the sheer shock of how incredibly good we were and how incredibly shocking Bolton were. And you know, we know a Bolton fan went to the game and they genuinely left at half time.
Yeah,
that's how bad it was.
I think they went to go and sit on the coach, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. And it was literally, mate, on the coach on the way back. The Bolton fans were you could just see so down in the dumps.
Oh, I know.
And we were used to that being us. It was us lot that normally are the miserable so and so's, and you know, and heads down and bits like that. But I must admit, I actually took some pleasure out of seeing somebody else suffer for once instead of us. It's a bit harsh, isn't it? But so Bolton, absolutely. And obviously, I mean, getting promoted, I think one of the main kind of things that I remember, again, I went with my dad. It was a very, very tense game. I'm sure everyone remembers it. The atmosphere was actually a bit flat because I think everyone was so, so nervous. Well, they were nervous until the time that I think Ipswich had just scored with like 10 minutes to go. And I think we needed Hull to win and then us to lose in order to actually get promoted. And as soon as that Ipswich goal went in, the place changed. And we were like, this is actually going to happen. This is it. I think the magical moment from that, though, with that all aside, right behind us was an old chap. He must have been mid-70s, and he was in tears. And he's like, I never thought I'd see this day. And obviously, he's probably left us now. But he got the chance to see Stoke go back to the top flight of English football for the first time in 23 years at that point. And again, football, it touches people in so many different ways. So if I was to give you my top three, definitely the Peter Thorne, the 5-0, and getting promoted, and just for the moments like that, really.
Yeah, and I love that story at the end there, actually, just about how much it does mean to people. People are so happy. People cry with happiness and in sadness over football. Some people find that quite remarkable, really. Football means a lot to people, and I think that's something we'll come on to in the second half. But for now, Mike, I think I want to close out this A-side, this first half of the podcast. And whenever I do this, I ask a break question. So I've got a question pre-written down here. It's more of a hypothetical one you might have to give a bit of thought to. Might not. You might have something off the top of your head. But either way, I don't want your answer now. I want to hear your answer after the break when we record the second half. So, are you ready to hear it, mate?
Go for it.
Okay. So, your break question is, imagine you'd started every step along the way earlier and you've previewed Stoke City games that you've seen in the past. Which game would you have wanted to have previewed the most? And who would have been your ideal guest to have joined you on the broadcast?
What a great question.
And again, I don't want your answer now. I want your answer after the break. And with that brings the A side of File 49 to a close. I love Mike's story. I love it being centered around essentially being the 12th man, you know, whether it be dressing Peter Thorne, whether it being seeing players down at the Dome, or whether it just been giving back to Stoke fans in the way that he has done through podcasts and the Supporters Council and whatnot. Speaking of which, of course, I will link in the description to this podcast every step along the way, Mike's podcast. Make sure you go give it a listen. Follow it on social media, Google it, add it to your podcast players, the lot, right? Make sure you go check it out. Speaking of podcasts, of course, you will be expecting the B-side to this podcast, which of course will be released a few days after this A-side going live, so make sure you keep an eye on your podcast feeds for that. I apologise for the small break in between this podcast and the previous one. life, as I said, is just ramping up a little bit now, and after a little bit of a break, I feel revitalized. And once again, I'm not bringing back the Sunday 10 a.m. schedule, but I want podcasts to be more regular again, so I'm going to make sure that I bring you content as often as I can. That means it's just a reminder that this show really does rely on people like you to take part. You can head to thewywywowfiles.com and click get involved to find out more. Please make yourself known if you want to be on this podcast. I'd really love you to be on the show. You know, we're heading into 50 people that have been interviewed in the files now, a few undisclosed and a few on Millionaire and such. I'd love there to be more of all of them. However you want to get involved, please do so. You can send a message to @thewywowfiles on social media or an email to thewywowfiles@mail.com if you have any questions at all. And that just leaves to say thank you very much for listening. And until the next one. But don't forget, it could be your file one day. Visionita Fortior.
Pantomime.